Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And hopefully you had a delightful weekend and a nice Father's Day for those of you who celebrated that and whatever else was going on. Hopefully you had a lovely weekend. We certainly had one weather-wise. And wishes that you got out to enjoy it. Meanwhile, we are back here this morning and have a lot to discuss, so we will do that. We welcome you into the conversation, and isn't that better than a ray of sunshine?
Well, I don't know.
It's roundtable at WAMC.org if you'd like to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And again, we do have a lot to discuss, so we will get into that in just a moment. Let me introduce our panel this morning, fresh from a very successful gig at the
Cafe Lena.
Yeah, for Cafe Lena. What was it called again?
The Grove.
The Grove. Thank you. Thanks, Rosemary. That was The Grove.
Sell out. Wonderful performance.
Excellent. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of people there. Great people. The band was in great metal.
Oh, do you lip sync?
Fine metal. No, we don't lip sync, but no? You have a lip sync story, don't you, Joe?
Well, I don't know. I think
it's anecdotal and it's possibly actionable if you're wrong. So I wouldn't even even do that.
Yeah. That's sort of my issue.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. And
let's put it this way. Do any of the people who go on tour ever lip sync?
Yes.
Okay.
And although I was telling Ray before, I don't know that I had necessarily ever seen one, but if it's good, you don't know, right?
No.
Well, if you're far enough back, you obviously get the good seats.
No.
You know?
Well,
those people on the lawn, they didn't know anything.
Well, no.
Roselle was on the lawn, thought it was a great performance.
It was a great performance. It was a fantastic performance.
Everybody know what we're talking about?
No, but yeah.
Really?
I did it. I did a bad thing. Okay. We didn't say she lip-synced. I just asked if anybody ever did.
Rule one, never tell Shartok anything before the show starts.
No.
Anyway, Ray, you're here. How are you?
Great.
Good. And Rosemary Armeo joins us as well, director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Or as she put in her bio, UAlbany, but every time I say that, I get yelled at.
Why? Why do you? Why?
It's SUNY Albany. They don't want to be called.
No, I don't even think of this. That's not even SUNY Albany, is it? It has to be the University at Albany.
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well. Do we always have to do what they want us to do?
No, I told you, I never do it overseas because people think I'm from, like, Albania, the
right.
country of Albania. Albania. Was in Tehran.
Yeah. Not only that, but Camp Bronx House, which I loved and was at that for many years, as you know, Ray, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, boy. Do I?
Would you know? They changed their name because the kids stopped coming from the Bronx to Camp Taconic Hills or something like that. Taconic something. I never do that. I don't know. That's not where I grew up. I'm not going to do that. You know? Don't you see?
Yeah, no, I do.
Don't you see?
I do.
All right. Let's get going.
That was condescending, right, when you said all right?
I thought you would want to get on to the
show. Oh, yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I just thought we wanted to get on it. No, if you want to talk more about that,
no,
Cam,
I'm done.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done with it.
Yeah. All right.
Why don't we just get right to the letters?
All right. My God. All right. So Donald Trump was on the Sunday News shows yesterday and said that, suggested Sunday that the United States should seriously consider profiling Muslims inside the country as a terrorism-fighting tool. The latest example of the Republican presidential nominee in waiting, increasingly backing positions that could single out a group based on their religion. Meanwhile, it seems to be doing very well for his polling. No. The Washington Post put out a very interesting article over the weekend, which indicated that he is starting from the lowest position of any candidate, Democrat or Republican, that has taken place in the past, I believe, 4 election cycles.
Huh.
What's wrong?
I was just trying to make sure that Rosemary could be seen sitting over there in the dark.
I'm in this low chair that doesn't
come over
lift,
this side.
So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. People call in and they say, I can't see
heard.
Rosemary. Yeah, all right.
I will be heard.
Okay, so here's the deal. Do you think that they're going to take the nomination, because this is the big thing. Cokie Roberts this morning. Well, the question is, can they take the nomination? The Republicans take the nomination.
Yet another effort by a large group of Republican delegates to, and from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but from my understanding was to be mostly to allow them to have dissent and also to just back out of the first vote at the convention, right?
Yes.
Well, first of all, the Rules Committee meets. Then they change whether the delegates who, if they want to do this to Trump. But Trump said quite correctly, you know, that I happen to be for Trump having the nomination. I want you to know that. I don't want them to take the nomination away for Trump. Because, you know, I think he's not going to do that well, to be perfectly honest with you, in this election. If they take it away, you're going to have millions of people who voted for him really ticked off, right? And so they're going to be saying, I'm not going to vote for these guys because they took away the nomination from the guy who legitimately won it. And he made that point. So I don't see how this strategy is a winning strategy for them other than to protect the people down ticket.
I think Trump is a jerk, but the Republicans made their bed and now they have to lie in it. I think all these efforts are as fruitless as they have been up to this point.
Right. And it doesn't seem that it will gain much traction other than there are more and more people who are being attracted to the notion. But as you say, they certainly had opportunities prior.
This has been going on, for more than a year now. And for the same reasons that Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio could not stop him, I don't think any of the remaining people who's going to join together to do this.
Who are they going to run?
I mean, Paul Ryan is the name I keep hearing.
Yes,
and he will have no organization. He'll have no money. His structure will be in as bad a shape as Trump's appears to be.
Well, that's the other thing.
Which
when
is
you
the
talk
other
about
problem.
No organization and no money, that also seems to be the case.
Right. This is the Clinton machine. I hate that term because I think it's designed to make her sound like that's all she has is some sort of system behind her. But she's been running for a long time. She has said, I want this job. She's gone out and she's planned and she has a structure that goes across all 50 states. She has money coming in. And it even beat Bernie Sanders, who brought in more money than she did. He outspent her. Yet you cannot beat a 50-state organization.
Although at some points, Bernie Sanders had more people employed in the field and had a larger campaign structure at various times during the campaign. But now, Hillary
Clinton...
It just
was deployed too late.
That's right.
That's the
Absolutely.
Whole thing.
Yes.
Clinton knew what you... I remember this with Jeb Bush in Florida in the 2000 election. That's why his brother won. Not because it was thrown, although there's possibilities there too, but because that organization had been grown and nurtured over years. It delivered for the Republican Party. And that's happening for Hillary, I think.
There is... I was shocked that... The Trump Organization of people who are actively in the campaign on the ground is 35.
Amazing, isn't
35.
It?
35. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton has somewhere around 800.
Yeah, I mean
that is a just that is
geographically,
a striking figure.
Just geographically, 35 people would have a really hard time doing it. And I understand he's a non-conventional player and all that, but I don't see how he can win without a huge change. And even then, it might.
So
be
this
too
is
late.
What he said over the weekend, Alan. And you let me know how this makes sense because I don't understand. It, but you're a political scientist, so I'm sure it makes sense to you.
Oh, why are you laughing? It's true.
No, go ahead.
At the setup.
No, well, meaning.
No, was it a shot?
I think so.
I don't think
so.
Was
so show them off.
I don't think it was a shot at all.
Nothing is a shot. I'm asking you a question. The question being is, do you have a... forget it. It
no,
doesn't
wanna,
matter.
No.
Know.
Do you have a... Come on.
The question is, when you have a structure... You're a political scientist, right? So the question being that you have 35 people on the ground, and Trump says that he is not going to go... that he's not going to increase that number any, and he is going to rely on the Republican machinery. My question is, how can you rely on the Republican machinery when so much of that Republican machinery doesn't want you as their candidate and is already talking about how they're going to bail at the convention?
Well, first of all, it's not unified. In other words, it's not everybody, every Republican. It's some very strategic Republicans. They're making the mistake of their lives. They really have nowhere to go. They can't make it better. They got Trump, like it or not.
Right.
He's going to be the candidate, like it or not. If he isn't the candidate, they're really, what's the technical term, screwed. and there's nothing that they can do about that. They're in real trouble here. On the other hand, we hear today that in the New York Times, in the Upshot, Cohen's piece, that there are a lot more, quote, white voters out there than were assumed. And white voters, especially white male voters, demographically are supposed to be very good for Trump. And then the question becomes, who turns out and who doesn't? So what do we know? We know that young people don't turn out in the numbers in which they can. We know that minorities, the people who often need most of what the Democratic Party has to offer, don't always turn out. They did in the last election. We think it's because Barack Obama was the candidate and there was a huge minority turnout, which is one of the reasons I think if you're a Democratic strategist, you're looking for a Cory Booker or for somebody like that who will help.
And Alan and I talked about this. I don't think she needs it. I think Hillary has the minority vote locked up because the candidate is Donald Trump. He has huge unlikabilities in the minority community.
It's
huge.
True. It's true. The question is who turns out. It's not that that Trump is going to get a lot of those votes. It's the question of a margin. Look, we consider 5% in an election to be a blowout. A 5% win is considered to be of historic proportions and could win. So if 10 or 15% of black or Hispanic voters turn out, the Democrats are going to be helped. If they don't, the Democrats are going to be hurt.
Well, the Washington Post dueling poll story against the New York Times today is it takes a look at polls and says they failed miserably in the Romney-Barack Obama contest because they undercounted minorities. And I think the same thing is happening now. And Hillary is going to get them. She is going to bring them out because they have a lot at stake. He's targeting minority communities.
Well, right. But in the Cohen piece this morning, the idea that there are more whites out there who are apt to vote for Trump is a very good point. I'll tell you why. Because Trump is playing the race card. He is appealing directly to white male voters. And it seems to me that he is playing to people who may not turn out or may never have turned out before. That's the interesting issue here.
The other thing, there was a line in that article from the Washington Post to Alan's point, and I just want to find it real quick.
Okay.
Because I thought it was very, very telling, because they were comparing the various campaigns and basically saying that a lot of this hasn't been seen since 1996. But again, you're comparing at that point, you're comparing to one of the most unsuccessful elections that the Republicans have had in a long, long time.
Right.
And I think that says
this
a lot.
This is that the numbers are so bad for Trump. And even when you go back, you have to go back
here it is.
A long way. There it is.
The margin by which he trails Hillary Clinton now mirrors McCain's deficit to Barack Obama in 2008. I apologize, 2008. McCain rebounded after the Republican convention, but it's important to remember that we're comparing Trump to the worst Republican performance in a general election since 1996.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I have always believed that it was the pet owners who, in my role as a political scientist here, that it was the pet owners who voted no because Romney left the dog on the roof.
I think it was that 47% remark that did him in.
Last year. But this is the worst. They're saying the worst one was McCain.
And I'm saying it's the dog.
But it was McCain.
But it was McCain.
It wasn't McCain. Didn't
it wasn't
have the
Romney.
Dog.
It was McCain.
Romney had the dog.
Oh, Romney. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
This is going to be a very bad transition, but McCain had Sarah Palin.
I did not compare Sarah Palin to a dog. I did not. I just
let the record show.
She's very good looking. She just has the brain of a dog.
I did not
about
do
the
that.
Same size.
Stop.
She's
Stop.
Awful. I'm sorry.
Come
she's
on,
awful
that's not
too.
Civil. We like civility.
And Trump
here.
Would put Sarah Palin in his cabinet. Perhaps he loves her. Terrible. He's awful.
Well, and not only that, but I'm fascinated by who the vice presidential candidates are going to be. It does appear to me, and I'm willing to put some money on it right now, but, you know, on the right odds, that Chris Christie is going to be the vice presidential candidate.
I agree with you, though. Yeah.
Really?
Do you know anything? Yeah, I do.
I mean, you know, if you're going to set up that sort of right of center bullying paradigm, then I would think Chris Christie's the right guy to have.
So we have a break, but I have so the question which came up a moment ago when Rosemary was talking about this when we were talking about Cory Booker and also with Chris Christie is geography in this particular race is geography that much of an issue?
Yeah, I mean I think Chris Christie with Trump is like Elizabeth Warren with Hillary. It makes sense, except you don't really need them. The party doesn't need those funds.
We will talk about this and more after this break. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Monday morning. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. And you must believe us when we say that we love your letters because you keep writing and we have a lot of them and we'll read some right now.
Right. Okay, panel. Two bloviating bullies leading the Republican ticket sounds great to me. Christie won't even give Trump New Jersey, where his approval ratings are in the teens. Frankly, the only people likely to identify with Christie are morbidly obese Americans.
Nice.
Which is a bit scary considering how many of them there are. Hey, that's not right. That's not. You don't take shots at people just because they're fat.
No.
That's not right.
That's a lesson that you are very smart to impart, Alan.
Yeah, well, thanks very
much.
Boy,
you really are a shining paragon of virtue, aren't you?
What does it say? Rosemary. It says
here, yes.
Oh, Rosemary wants to be able to continue to use cell phone and be half involved. Somebody must be looking at you on the screen.
Ah,
signed A. Stalker.
Paul says,
I think I'm fully involved. Have you noticed any
no,
drop off of my attention?
Rosemary, you are as involved as anybody we could possibly
guess. Well, I think you're also checking facts and checking different things on your phone.
I'm waiting for comments from people who write in and say, that's stupid, say this.
Paul says, I think Trump is smart enough to realize that he can't win with a VP who is equally loud and obnoxious. He will choose a more likable, even tempered running mate. Of course, you got to find one who will do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, who would that be?
Yeah, I mean, you know. This
John McEnroe.
For those of you who don't know your sports, he was a loudmouth. Stephen, and is, I suppose, Stephen says, the commonality in Trump's platform targeting minority groups and issues such as gun control is fear. Well, that's right. I think that's right. Christopher says, dear panel, have you noticed how Trump never uses the phrase self-funded in relation to his campaign? The truth is, he doesn't have enough personal wealth to wage a campaign against the Clinton machine. Republican big donors can't run away fast enough from Trump. At the point in the campaign last cycle, Romney was raising $1 million per day. The RNC has only two choices, one to distance themselves from Trump and allow him to implode, two to replace him based on his inability to raise
money. He just put out an appeal for money, Trump did, to followers. To the base. And that's interesting to me. He may end up raising more money than Bernie did in that method because they have similar sorts of appeal.
May I ask? I am loath to enter into conspiracy theories here on the show. We try not to do that.
Right.
But one of the ones that has been getting some traction from really since the beginning of the campaign, when Trump started to win, was that he didn't really want the job, sort of did it as a lark, suddenly is into this and realizes, oh boy, I could actually be president of the United States.
Oh no, he wants to win. He wants to win.
I agree with you, but I'm just wondering at what point, given the ego and given what, as all we hear about the the polls, all we hear about how he wins, that if he puts himself into a position where he isn't, will he for any reason even either give up or to I don't know.
No, he's not going to give up. He's almost 70 years old, right? 68?
He is 70.
He's 70 years 70 old years last week.
This is his thing. You know, you either you got it or not. I think his big problem is that he's been rolling around in the mud for so long on so many of his projects that, like Agnew, you'll remember with Spiro Agnew, they got him. But right. They didn't get him for anything he did while he was vice president. They got him when he was fooling around as the county executive in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling there's an awful lot of close-to-the-vest stuff that's going on with him.
But if you have all of these things, now realizing that the election is quite a few days away, 200 or whatever.
Oh, 200 more days of this? Yeah. All right, got it.
Well, 5 months, I believe.
Then we can start on the next one.
Right. Absolutely.
It's time.
But my question
is... Can Hillary win re-election? No, sorry.
But the question is, to Stephen's letter about targeting minority groups, doing all of the things that seem to be upsetting everybody and seem to be wrong and not working, if we look at the recent polls, you do wonder how much of it is motivated by a thought of,
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
I agree with Alan. I reject that. It is, this stuff worked great for him during the primaries.
It sure did.
I think he has not fully made the switch to like, oh, I may have to try something different now that we're in a different phase. I think he made so much hay by pressing the buttons, just going right to the edge of acceptable and even beyond it, that he now is having trouble pulling back. But he will.
And by the way, I do think there's a lot of indication, at least to me, that he could win. Sorry.
Yeah,
I think this guy can win. I think it's the so-called silent majority or moral majority, and those are the people that he's looking at.
But can he win the key states, the big electoral states?
I think he can win anywhere. I think
really?
He can win anywhere. I'm not a Trump supporter, as you all know, but I think to dismiss him as a potent candidate, and by the way, there's been a good deal of research on this, is mistaken.
Yep.
I think anybody who does that is just looking for trouble.
I agree with you entirely, but wouldn't he have to, at this point, change what he's saying? I mean, what he's doing right now at this moment is not working.
No, because if he changes what he is saying, he has lost those that he has appealed
to. That's true.
And so therefore, if he's Trump, he doubles down. And so you don't, as Rosemary might suggest, back away. You just go full speed ahead.
Not to change the subject too much, but if you take a look at the British elections right now, whether to stay in or get out of
the referendum, of the
European Union, it is this sort of incipient racism which is driving
it's the same thing. Yes, the Trump stuff is exactly the same. It's immigration and migration is scaring, and the rise of nationalism to counter it is affecting elections and referendum around the world, and Trump is part of it. Absolutely, that's true.
Yeah.
The other thing I just ask, because I want to talk about the EU as well, but when you look at here you have this candidate that if there is, let's forget if it's successful or not, but if there is some sort of move during the convention, I mean, it's going to bloody him even more, isn't it? I mean, that will not be coming out of that, even if you're the victor, coming out of something where people are rising up against you at the convention, that is not going to send out a strong candidate into the world.
I think it totally fits his billing. You know, everybody is against me. I'm against the establishment. I'm fighting everybody for you. I think it would totally
for that
play
small
into
sliver
his.
of his supporters, but then to win a general election is my question.
Well, if we buy the statement that most of the Republican Party is not in favor of Trump, then if they quietly...
The party elite?
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's just say for a minute, without vetting that that's true, then if they go along meekly at the convention, it doesn't speak well of the party. So either way, the party is in deep, deep trouble.
No, I said that before. I did.
Well, let us also not
forget that because of sore loser
Sanders, the Democrats are not looking at a completely smooth convention either. And Hillary is going to come out and has already been besmirched by her opponent, and he continues to be an irritant. So doesn't that hurt her equally or in the same way at least?
Well, yeah, she's got vulnerabilities, real vulnerabilities, as a matter of fact. That's one of them. You know, Bernie really has passionate people behind him, as I can tell you, because I hear from a lot of them virtually every day.
So when the deal is finally done and Bernie then says, I support Hillary's run for president.
Which he will.
Which he will. And the deal will be done. Some deal will be cut if it hasn't been cut already. Then what percentage of those extraordinarily
Bernieites.
Fervent Bernieites go with Hillary? I say large percentage.
Well, it's going to be, you say
two-thirds.
How much? What
percentage? Large percentage.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a large percent. And not only that, when Bernie appeals to his followers to do this, I don't see how most of them will peel off. But there will be some. You know, I talked to Jill Stein the other day on the radio, yep. And she really wanted all the Bernieites to come over. But if past elections are any indication, it won't be that many. It'll be a small.
You should talk to Gary Johnson too at some point.
Yeah, we should talk to Gary Johnson. I'd love it. Could you arrange that, Ray?
I don't know. We'll try to find him in the phone book.
Make the call.
Check the roll.
Make the call.
The other question, of course, is Bernie Sanders is still in the race, officially in the race.
Got Secret Service protection.
He has Secret Service protection at a rate of more than $38,000 a day, round-the-clock protection. What this means is that if you suspend your campaign like John Kasich did, like
Ben Carson,
Ted Cruz did, you then lose your team of agents. So a team of agents still guards him at his home where they've constructed a watch station on the property. They travel with him on commercial and charter flights. They use a motorcade to whisk him through cities that he visits, and they march alongside him during events where he is. So, but that costs a lot of money. So taxpayers are getting stuck with a big security bill after his campaign receded from the cycle. And the Washington Post is pointing out in this article that something we should be concerned about? And I pose that question to the panel this morning.
Well, the Washington Post is hardly neutral, you know, in this fight.
I hope they don't take away, Sanders doesn't take away their credentials, too.
Right. That's a good shot. That's a good shot. No, I mean, you know, he has a right to stay in. This is ridiculous. This is, we're now fooling around the edges. We've had much mail, by the way, of relevance to all of this saying that Rosemary insulted dogs everywhere when she compared.
When I called, compared Sarah Palin. Well, there are many reasons I think Sanders should get out and throw his support party unity to stop Donald Trump, because he lost decisively and by every measure. To say I want him to get out to save $38,000 a day, I just can't do it. There are crazy people out in our country.
Absolutely.
With easy access to guns, and I don't want Bernie Sanders shot. Joe Cox in Britain reminded us that this is dangerous to run for office. So I don't want the Secret Service to leave him, but he should get out.
Well, that's easy for you to say. I think people have a right to do whatever they want. I happen to have announced that I voted for Bernie. I will vote for Hillary because I think, you know, the alternatives are too great. You know. What am I going to do? Vote for a candidate who will not win and leave four Supreme Court justices? This morning we heard somewhere I read that they're already beginning to line up on the Supreme Court for time to go. So
Clarence Thomas being the next. He's
talking about getting out.
There was a piece in the paper that
he
may be the next one to go. And I don't know where they're sourcing
votes,
that.
That's
Rosemary.
Only when he court. That's
he,
only in court.
He votes.
Yeah, badly.
Well, yeah, you say that, but you know, that's spurious in that this is an important piece of news. So
yeah,
that means that
I
Hillary will be certainly
that.
Naming. If it's Hillary, if Hillary is the candidate, she'll be naming three or
not
four.
Not the candidate. She's got to be the president to name anybody.
You make a very important point. I stand by what I'm saying, and you know it.
All right, let's take a break. We will come back and continue our conversation. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including medallion cabinetry, countertops, design services, and showroom, mkckitchens.com. Grist Mill Real Estate, Saugerties, for over 40 years, a locally owned independent realtor offering one-on-one consultations for buyers and sellers, specializing in homes in Saugerties, Woodstock, Kingston, and beyond, GristMillRealEstate.com. Saratoga Hospital, now offering 3D mammography technology for early detection of breast cancer, saratogahospital.org for information. And from Berkshire Highbridge Dental Implants, Drs. Cleterman and Williams offering prosthetic and restorative options for complex dental problems with the Highbridge Full Mouth Restoration, berkshirehighbridge.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Nice to have you with us. And we have a lot of letters, so we'll go to those.
Boy, do we ever. Hello. Bernie was not a Democrat. He ran for the Senate as an independent. He simply used the party machine to propel his candidacy. He has no loyalty to the party, just like Trump. He has no closely held loyalty to compel him to withdraw. Peter says, Rosemary should get out. What? If there's one thing Rosemary shouldn't do, it's get out. We love Rosemary. There should be a rule for discussion, no name calling. In other words, jerk. Rules for civil discussion. Regards, Christina. I agree with Christina.
I think Donald Trump is a jerk. I think Donald Trump is a jerk.
I know, but I think Christina's right. We have to lead by example.
Exactly.
Here, and we have to keep it. We have to keep it. What?
No, I agree with you.
You do?
Yes.
You're a very sardonic person.
When did you change?
I knew it was coming. Okay, so Dan says, Stein-Sanders 2016, Sanders-Stein 2016. The amount of egg that will be on the roundtable face will be enormous. We're getting a lot. We're hearing a lot from the Bernieites. Okay.
And what did Jill Stein say about that when you talked to her?
No, she said that she wanted Bernie to come over. She would relinquish her position at the head of the ticket because they're on the ballot in 50 states.
Right.
And Bernie could lead the ticket as a third party candidate. And clearly he's not going to do that. She made headlines saying that one day.
So apparently the news coming out right now is that Donald Trump is parting ways with Corylyn Lewandowski, his campaign manager. Yeah,
should have done that longer. He's the guy who
laid his hand on.
Yes.
A reporter.
Laid hands upon a reporter.
A move that comes as the presumptive Republican nominee faces challenges as it moves toward the general election. We heard right before the show that there was going to be a meeting with his campaign staff. So apparently the New York Times is reporting.
See,
that
he's trying, though. That speaks to what Alan and I said. He is going after this, and he is maybe too slowly,
sure.
But he is making a switch in his structure and
style.
He
wants to win.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm reading more as we come up to them. I don't read the silly ones, okay? Just silly ones.
Right.
Okay, Trump doesn't need any money, not as long as you and the other news media continue to talk about him. We hear that
one a lot.
That's
a point, but you have to talk about him.
Well, what are you going to do? He's running for president of the United States.
He's the presumptive Republican nominee, right?
He talks about excluding Muslims. He talks about building walls. What are you going to do, not talk about him? I mean, give me a break. And then we heard from Robert. Want to bet that Christie already has an employment contract with Trump after his term expires that Trump will renege on? Ha ha. Here's what's bound to happen for the reps of the convention. They'll find a way to move away from Trump. Probably they'll put a push on. Paul Ryan, who will, one of his, please don't throw me in that briar patch routine. Trump will probably get... promise some obscure.
That's a great description, though. Please don't throw me in the briar patch.
Yeah,
Paul Ryan. I may have to plagiarize that.
Alan just said this morning that Trump will not do well in the election. Now he's saying that Trump could do very well.
Who said that?
Alan.
Make up your mind, Alan. Peter.
No, you've pretty much always said he was going to be a big contender.
You think he's a fan?
He was the same one that I believe that said that you should get out. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So that's down to you and Ray.
We ought to do something on the psychographs of some of these letters. Let's
What's
see.
A psychograph?
It's when you find out if somebody. Yeah.
You put the pen in.
Swirl
it all about.
I used to love that.
Put your right hand in. Shake it all about.
Okay. Lou says, so much is said about Trump's white male Republican supporters. I am not one of them. But what about Republican females? Is that demographic so small that nobody talks about it? Rosemary? The answer, I think, is that because you may have been looking at your phone, you know.
No, I wasn't. I know. I'm trying to think of the latest poll that I saw about Republican women. Smaller. Usually Republican women support the candidate of their party more than they are in this election cycle. But I do not remember the exact numbers. We'll have to do some homework.
Yeah. Okay. And then Sean says, again, that comment about Sarah Palin and dogs is an insult to dogs. We've had several of those. Let's see here. Okay. And Trump said, Christopher said.
That would be great.
Yeah, Trump weighing in.
Shartak, you're fired.
Have you ever noticed that Trump never using the phrase self-funded in relation to his campaign? The truth is that he doesn't have enough personal wealth to wage a campaign against the Clinton machine. Republican big donors can't run away fast enough from Trump. At the point in the campaign last cycle, Romney was raising $1 million per day, which we already talked about. The RNC has only two choices. One, to distance themselves from Trump and allow him to implode. Two, to replace him based on his inability to raise funds. I'm telling you, they're in a bad, bad spot, the Republicans. I don't see what they can do. I just don't see what they can do. No matter what choice they make, they lose on this. Now, assuming they think, not that he's going to lose, but that he's an unacceptable standard bearer for the party. I always hear about Bernie Sanders supporters as enthusiastic and fervent and other such adjectives. I have to say that Hillary supporters are equally as enthusiastic. It's just become part of the media shorthand for defining the constituents of these candidates. It's pronounced that Bernie has the emotion and Hillary has the pragmatic choice. I say poppycock to that. And it's based on reading about and watching Hillary supporters around the country, especially now that they feel safe to identify as such.
I've read the same thing, that Hillary has many passionate supporters, black women, older women.
That's
I'm
fine,
on.
But
and they don't, or they're not used to the expression of their passion in the same way that young people who generally go out for Bernie have.
And it's very unscientific, but if you look at the letters that come to this radio station and this program, the most enthusiastic ones and in the greatest numbers are Bernie letters, pro-Bernie letters. And am I wrong about that?
No.
I don't think you're right about that.
I don't think we're seeing that for Hillary. They just quietly go to the polls and vote for her. They don't write letters and go to rallies.
Jeff says, I'd rather have 4 years of nothing with Trump than 4 years Emmy regression with Clinton.
What kind of regression?
4 years of regression.
Well, it says Emmy
regression. Yeah, it was a typo.
But even still, I think that's taking a lot of faith to say that nothing would happen with Trump.
I think it would be terrifying. Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand why Trump's poll numbers have taken a further nosedive. His positions and rhetoric haven't radically changed since he got in the race. What was the straw that broke the camel's back here? Is it now that he's the nominee and that's James from Hudson?
You know, TV shows get canceled because the novelty wears off.
Mm.
And so I think the metaphor is somewhat apt because this guy's been on TV and done a lot of shows in the past. And I think, you know, you got shtick, it wears off after a while, like the Camp Bronx House thing.
I think the country has ideals of how a president is supposed to act. And we saw Obama violated this when he said, I draw the line in the sand here in Syria, and then said, okay, never mind, I'm not going to go after you. And people say, oh, he's a coward, the president can't do that. And I think that what changed for Trump was the way he did not act noble and uplifting after Orlando. He was a jerk. He said, yeah. Look, thanks for congratulating me. See, I was right. Very unpresidential.
I see it a little differently. I think what's happened is the establishment on both sides, the Democratic side and the Republican side, and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Daily News have all gotten together and said, you are not going to be president of the United States.
That said, this is a snapshot of today. Let's see in a month and a half. It'll be tighter.
Yeah. Where was that meeting held, Alan? I don't like conspiracy theories.
Oh, you think there was a meeting held?
They had a meeting up, in the Catskills, and they called in all the heads of the liberal media and the establishment. It's crazy.
The Concord. No, it was great.
The FBI raiding the place?
Buddy Hackett played the meeting. It was pretty amazing, actually. Jackie Green came out, did a set.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alan King and Charlie Callis.
Take my wife. Okay. If Trump picks Marco Rubio as his running mate, his appeal could be much higher than we anticipate. For example, he would probably take all of the
Marco Rubio does not seem to like him.
No, they don't seem
college votes
seem
from
to
the
be
South,
along.
Including Florida.
Little
Texas.
Marco could
well,
change his
well,
mind.
Marco, well, Lyndon Johnson did
We're
not
out of time.
Like
it. Oh, good.
We're like
Kennedy.
Okay. Yeah.
Show's over.
Okay.
We got one letter. I just wanted to say, Ray, great, Ray's on.
Yes.
Ray is on. Thank you very much. We'll be back.